They just don't care. But it's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. Good morning to you. It is Tuesday morning. Sorry, there was no show yesterday. Yesterday got kind of out of control. I was on the boat on Sunday evening. And Monday morning, I actually was going to go out, do a bike ride, do some things, get some things done, and have some breakfast. And of course, after I woke up, I realized that there was a thunderstorm moving in, and I was unable to get off the boat. Well, I could have gotten off the boat, but I'm at the dock. It's not like I'm out on the lake. But I wasn't going to get out in the pouring rain. So I ended up hunkering down on the boat and trying to get things lashed down. It was a pretty nasty storm move through. It wasn't anything like Hurricane Debbie, but it was definitely a nice little whippy storm, summertime storm, basically pop-up storm, I think, kind of a line of things that moved across the lake, Lake Michigan there. Today, my understanding is there's several tornado warnings and watches going across Michigan today. So for those of you who are listening up in Michigan, I do hope you're all well. Hope you're taking cover, whatever you need to do to hunker things down, and no one's hurt or harmed, no one's property's damaged. This is it can be pretty serious if those kinds of things can, depending on where they touch down. So hopefully all is well up in Michigan to our listeners up there. Speaking of listeners, just a quick little side note here. There are listeners. I'm amazed sometimes when I look at the statistics of this show, and it fascinates me sometimes. We've got listeners in Saudi Arabia. We do have some in Venezuela. We also have some in various parts of South America and even South Africa. In Africa itself, it surprises me sometimes. Australia, of course, got a few down there. They have to listen to it upside down, so I try to stand on my head when I do the Australian show. But we have a lot of other places. Russia, there's several in Russia. Some other countries. Nigeria is several times I've clicked on the thing. So it's kind of interesting to see that kind of response from different places in the world. I'm not sure if some of that is VPN stuff that's going on. I know that some countries probably aren't unable to listen to just anything, so they may be listening through a VPN. And while I'm on that subject, while I'm on that bunny trail, I'm going to be on another. Look, another bunny trail. We have VPNs. Who creates these? How do they work? And how do you trust them? Sure, you might, and they give you this whole thing under the guise of, oh, when you're marketing or when you're doing something, you can get this VPN. Nobody can tell who you are, where you are, where you're coming from. Well, that's all well and good, but all this kind of thing always makes me wonder. It's kind of like LifeLock. These companies that supposedly monitor everything that you're doing, monitors, and if anything happens, they let you know right away. And there's a lot of conservative talk folks out there and pundits who have radio shows and YouTube channels and social media networks, and they promote this. They sponsor that. They are sponsored by some of this stuff. Now, frankly, my question is, and I think that McAfee was actually, I think somebody was caught doing this, where they actually would send out viruses, or they would give you this free, virus detection thing to see if there was any viruses on your computer. So you would install that, and then of course that would install a virus that they would, you could have to pay them for the services to take it off. I don't trust that stuff, and I don't trust VPNs. Because anybody that you, maybe you've got a case where you could use one, or maybe there's something that you could do to actually use one. What I see is that it provides them an opportunity to delve into your IP. And anybody who has that now can track and trace everything that you're doing. I don't like it. The Signal app, by the way, I've been told by people, I've got some relatives who worked in very highly secure jobs in the military, worked as contractors in highly secure positions, were very, we'll say, very well connected to intelligence and investigative countries and people within the government. Some would say the deep state, who have recommended, they've actually recommended Signal, the Signal app. And because of that, I know a lot of people who have used Signal, thinking that, well, the stuff's encrypted, nobody can break into this. My understanding is it keeps you safe from marketers. In other words, marketing people don't have access to this. Doesn't mean the governments don't. Now, I remember back in the 80s, early 80s, actually mid-80s, mid to late 80s, even into the 90s, I remember discussions in Congress about encrypted information and what is allowable and what's not allowable. Unless you're personally encrypting things yourself with an encryption code and then sending that data out and having it at somebody on the other end, you know, unencrypt it, decrypt it, whatever it is. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a big tech giant understanding programmer, computer programmer. I'm not a financial counselor. But there, I remember these discussions would go on. They would talk about what it would be allowable to be encrypted over the internet in communications. Most of the encryption companies, in fact, it's been determined that a lot of these companies that get set up for, just like Google, Alphabet, those kinds of companies, have a lot of black bag funding behind them. That the government has been involved deeply, and some of them have been set up by government side businesses that they have set up to glean things from the American people. And this has been the government tries to push that line all the time, and sometimes they're pushed back, sometimes they're not, and sometimes it goes to court, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes they settle without it going to court, so because they don't want to be public. Many of these organizations are actually spying on us, and we think that we're getting security from that. It's much like they have said, founders have said, those who will give up their freedoms for security deserve, and will find that they have neither freedom nor security. When you abdicate your responsibility to be secure in your persons, your papers and your things and your effects, your property, when you give up that right to someone else to take care of, you are giving up your freedom. Because now that other person has the right to your life, to your personal effects. So it's a very tricky line that we must walk down. Everybody says, well, you can't sit at your house and protect it all day long. You have to have police. Yes, that's part of the social community contract we have, that we pay some taxes, that we have some kind of funding for local police officers to maintain. And now, what's sad now is that a lot of times in a lot of communities, if the fire department shows up, if you call the fire department and they show up, you have to pay they send you a bill for doing that. In many cases, if the police officers in some communities show up, they will charge you for that. They charge you a fee for the police to show up. This is happening across the country in many places, which is not sure how I feel about that. I don't like it, especially after paying the kind of money I pay in taxes every year. Our family, my wife and I, pay it's over $5,000 a year. It's probably close to $6,000 a year in property taxes. You stop to think about that. If we don't pay those property taxes, they come and take our house away. They sell it to pay the property tax. Sell it to somebody else, so pay the property tax. Stop and think about that. That's almost $500 a month. Some people pay $500 a month for their rent. And we are renting the property, the right to call the house our own, from the state, regardless of whether we owe the bank any money or not. We really don't own that house. I have a property in the city of Elkhart, Indiana. And if I don't keep my yard mowed to their liking, they will come by and fine me for not keeping my yard mowed. It's like having a landlord. It literally is a landlord. A few years ago, I had code enforcement come after me, several years ago, about some things that the building isn't used for public. I don't have a public business there. I all the business I do out of that building is, well, this the recording studio. And then I also have a shop there that I do some things in. I have some tools there. So it's not really used for walk-in traffic. There's no walk-in traffic there. It is not on the main street, but it's on a road that's it's a thoroughfare, I should say. It's mostly residential in that area. And most of the residents' houses in that area, just to give you some idea, are very wet, run down. There's some that are burned out. There were many that were crack houses. There were back in the day. There's a lot of gangs in that area that, when they moved out, made that property value actually go down because there was so many empty houses in that area. I bought the property just around 2008 when things were kind of crashing, beginning of 2008. End of 2007, so when I bought the property, and of course I got it for a very low price, and it has not really appreciated a whole lot in the almost 20 years that I've had it, 15 years. The reason for that being just the neighborhood just is not developing. There's nothing happening there. I'm fine with that. However, they have reassessed my property value. Because there's no cap on commercial properties in the state of Indiana, like there is on home properties. Even though that's a sham too. I did a show on that. I had that mentioned that on the show probably a week ago or two, where they were going to cap the sales tax in Indiana and then eliminate property tax. They didn't cap the tax. They made a deal with the Democrats to just cap the property tax at a certain percentage for your residence, your residential home, commercial properties or rental properties, that they still can do whatever they want to with those. But they had a cap on the percentage of income tax or property tax on your home. And then they only raised the sales tax half what they were going to raise it. They were going to raise it from 4% to 9%. They decided to raise it to 7% and then put the cap on. So we didn't get rid of the tax. The whole purpose was to get rid of a tax, not to raise one and cap the other. But that's what they did. Of course, I knew what they were going to do immediately. I knew what they were going to do. The cap on the property tax didn't matter. At that time, if you had a property that was valued at $50,000, even though you may have paid more than that for it, the property tax, they assessed your property much lower just because of replacement costs and those kinds of things. It's not really based on what it would a fair market value. It's based on what the replacement cost of that property would be. It's not based on basic market value. At least that's not the way it was done before. The formulations were not done that way. You might have a property that's worth $100,000. You could sell it for $100,000 on the market, but they might assess it at $60,000 for the purposes of property tax. Well, I knew what they were going to do immediately. They were going to start reassessing everyone's properties. And you might have a property that you paid $200,000 for, and they were assessing it at maybe $120,000 or $110,000. Well, they're going to move that. All they have to do is adjust the assessment of your property every year and start raising it in order to raise the tax. My commercial property in 1 year tripled in value. Tripled. I was paying about $1,600 a year for property tax. All of a sudden, I got a bill. Actually, I got an assessment on my property. And it was going to make my bill about $4,500 for property tax in 1 year. It was going up that much. Of course, there wasn't a cap on that. This is the same property that they were coming by and telling me that it was falling apart and I needed to do all these repairs, all these things to the soffit. There was a couple places where soffit had fallen down. There was somebody had gone by. I don't know if somebody threw a rock in the window or if it actually flew off of the street. It's very possible that a car may have spun a rock off of the, or a truck may have spun a rock off of the street. Because I found the rock. Rock came right through the window. It was a double pane, solid window. And it blasted right through the window. I have a feeling it wasn't just thrown. It had to have been almost had to have been kicked by a truck, probably a city truck. The process of that happening, I actually had a rock get kicked up by a truck coming at me the other direction one time on a 2-lane road, and it almost went through my windshield on my truck and the passenger side. It was rather shocking, to say the least. Going about 40 miles an hour, and the rock was probably coming at me at a higher rate of speed, and it just about went through it was a rock about the size of a fist. So that can happen. Those kinds of things can happen. Now, having said that, they were trying to make these adjustments on these properties. So property tax is fluid, and it's in my opinion, it's immoral. We've got to find a better way to tax things for people rather than taking away their homes, taking away the value. It's like saying, well, you've got $100,000 in the bank. Oh, well, we're going to tax that. That's exactly what it is. You're taxing someone's wealth. You're taxing someone's. And unfortunately, property values don't go up enough to. And of course, what ends up happening, this happened on the East Coast. Property values went up like crazy. So they started increasing property taxes. The problem with the property, you know, people can't afford the property tax. At some point, if the property values start to diminish at all, you can't afford to live in your home anymore because maybe you bought that house out there for, you know, $300,000 on the East Coast someplace, on some fancy place, you know, whatever it is. You pay $300,000 for it, and now you live in it, and you own it, and you've retired, and all of a sudden property values start going up. Well, so does the property tax. It goes up. Percentage-wise, it goes up proportionately. All of a sudden, you have a home that's worth $1.5 million. You're paying taxes on the $1.5 million that they've assessed it at. And guess what? You're going to be paying more for that house in property tax in just a few years than you paid for it originally. You can't afford to be there, so you have to sell it. Well, you're going to sell it for millions of dollars. Maybe you're going to sell it for that amount. If everybody starts selling off their properties, all of a sudden those properties start to become worth less. Everybody's selling, nobody's buying. All of a sudden, supply and demand, property value goes down, but you're still paying property. It's this vicious cycle where they tax themselves out of marketability. So, and then they wonder why there's no affordable housing. This gets me when people start talking about affordable housing, because you can't just force builders to build cheaper to make housing affordable. You'll find this out if you start getting into building. It's like, well, there's so many variables. You can't take that gamble every time you go to build housing. Sure, if you want to take a loss on building homes, or if you want to want to break even on building some homes to make some affordable housing, that's great. How long is that going to last? The next person who buys it's just going to sell it for more. It's the marketability and the basics of taxation on property that controls and regulates that line. It's a governing of the line of housing market. Of course, available housing as well. But when you start bringing more people into a community and there's not enough housing, then of course the price of a house goes up because of people. It's supply and demand. What's on the market? We used to call it what's in the inventory. In the real estate world, we would say, what's the inventory of the county that you're living in? What, this XYZ county has this many houses in the inventory right now for sale. In other words, that's how many houses are posted right now for sale. And of course, you have the for sale by owners and all those kinds of things as well. Those are all kind of different kinds of things. So it just, anyway, so Kamala Harris was recently asked about inflation. If you don't I'm not going to play it today. I might be able to play it on Friday or possibly Thursday. Kamala Harris's response to asking about what they're going to do to curb inflation, what they're going to do bring inflation down. And she gives this long explanation of what inflation is. Well, you know, housing, everything, prices are going up. It's stretching the dollar, and everybody has to. And so we have to take it seriously. We take this very seriously. Oh, what are you going to do? We didn't ask you to explain like a child would explain to a 3-year-old what inflation is. We know what inflation is. We feel it in our checkbook every day. Harold Ford. He was on the Five. He's one of the traditional Democrats I can stomach, at least. He was recently on the Five, I think, the other night. I think it was last night. It might have been yesterday. And he was talking about, they were talking about inflation and what we're going to do about it and the economy and, you know, how bad the economy is. Well, he was making these comments about the stock market and how everyone's 401k is going up. Oh, for the stock market. Well, the stock market is not going up right now. The stock market is crashing. And he said he was trying to make this correlation that, well, you know, when Trump left office, the stock market was down to whatever it was. And now it's, you know, back up to here. And it's you know, well, it, yeah, the stock market made record leaps and bounds under Donald Trump. But here's the difference. Here's the big difference. Well, we created 15 million jobs. No, you didn't. You didn't create 15 million jobs. Jobs were shut down. People were told to stay home. They lost their jobs because the government nixed them, basically, told companies to shut down. And the greatest layoffs because of what the government did. You can't give government the credit for something that they did. We're going to destroy this bridge and rebuild it. Look, we built a new bridge. No, you destroyed the old one. That one was just fine. We just destroyed it. So it's one of those things where they talk out of both sides of their mouth, of course. They have several sides of their mouth. And in Kamala's case, she talks out of through her nose. But we have this thing that people don't put together. And the big controversy here is, oh, well, yeah, so your 401k has gone up. It's your 401ks are still much higher than they were, you know, 2-3 years ago, whatever, 3-4 years ago. Here's the problem. It doesn't matter if your 401k goes up or if your investments go up 20%, if inflation goes up 25%. Because what your dollars in your 401k will buy you are less. They're all of a sudden less. You can't buy as much with that 401k as you could 2 or 3 years ago. You can't buy as much gas. You can't buy as much food. You can't buy a home. You can't pay for a lot of things. Buy a car, for instance. With the same, if you had $10,000 in your savings account 3 years ago, and you made 10% on that every year, if you took that money, all that money that you have in your savings account, and you wanted to go buy the same thing you could have bought with $10,000 3 years ago, you can't do it because it's that thing that you wanted to buy is now more expensive. Way more expensive, and you're not going to have enough for it, despite the fact that your $10,000 grew 10% every year. Because inflation has, over the past 4 years, 3 years really, expanded to that amount. It's not the day-to-day, you know, point-to-point inflation that we're talking. Oh, inflation's down. No, inflation has slowed. It's still on the increase. But if you look over the overall year-to-year and add those up from where it was when we started with this whole mess, it has gone up tremendously, almost doubled in some sectors of the market. Energy costs, food costs, things that don't count in the rate of inflation for the Social Security checks. Those things are conveniently left out. We call it core inflation. No. But I'm not an economic advisor. The only thing I do know is that I have what's in my cup here. I've gotten 24 minutes into the show and I haven't even talked about what's in my cup. I'm a little bit upset with Chick-fil-A here this morning. I went to Chick-fil-A this morning for breakfast. By the way, I'm in Huntsville, Alabama. It is Tuesday, August 6th, 2023. 2024. It is currently 11:18 a.m. Central Standard Time, so it's afternoon East Coast time. Now, I went out to this morning. I got in kind of late here into Huntsville. I'll be in Huntsville all day tomorrow. Probably be back home tomorrow night. The thing that we're dealing with right now. Let's go back to this. What's in my cup here? I have sweet tea from Chick-fil-A. I got this morning. I was at breakfast over there, so I've got some of the finest sweet tea in my cup here this morning. But I drank about half of it. Went to the counter. You know, they'll give you free refills, free top off. I just wanted to top it off. That's all I wanted to do. Just top it off with tea. I want to take it back. I've got a refrigerator here in my room. I want to put some ice in it. I didn't need any more ice. I almost said something to her about not any. They usually ask you. So she goes over to the, she takes my cup and she walks over to the thing and she goes to fill it. And she put a scoop of ice in it. I thought, oh, I didn't really want any more ice. I forgot to tell her, and I would have had to yell at her to tell her, you know, about the ice thing. And then she put another scoop of ice in it. And it was actually overflowing. It was over the top of the cup with ice. And I thought, well, maybe the tea is going to be really warm and it's going to melt most of that. She didn't even hold the sweet tea button on to fill the cup. Grant, remember, I had about a half a cup, maybe less than half a cup of sweet tea in the cup already. And there was plenty of ice. She turned on the spigot for the sweet tea. I kid you not. Less than 2 seconds. And all of a sudden, and she brings the cup back to me and she says, you might want to push that down a little bit push the ice down there a little bit so that you can get the lid on. I said, that's a lot of ice. She just walked off. I walked out of there shaking my head. I was in disbelief that I was treated that way. In fact, at one point I said thank you to one of their employees. And he said, you're welcome. I looked at him as if, this has been just one of those weird days. In fact, so weird. On my way to Chick-fil-A, a homeless person. Now, I don't know. I wear normal clothes when I go out. I have normal shoes. I have normal, I have shorts. I have a shirt on. I've got a hat, sunglasses, cell phone. I had my AirPods in my ear, on one ear. I always keep one open. Walking down the sidewalk, and a homeless person, there's a lot of traffic noise. Of course, you can't hear very well. I see this homeless person all tatted up and kind of, well, let's just say it looks like they take certain kinds of medication. And they ran towards me, was yelling at me. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. Usually if I just ignore them, they'll let me go. I just pretend like I can't hear them. And then she starts running towards me. And she has something in her hand. And I wasn't sure what to say. She obviously was in my face, and she said, "Hey," I couldn't understand her. So I said, "What?" I said, and she said something again. I said, "I still can't understand what you're saying." And finally, she got close enough. She said, "Art." She got pretty close to me, but as she would get closer, she would lower her voice, the tone of her voice. She wouldn't yell. So every time she'd get closer and say something, there's still too much traffic noise. Finally, she holds this thing out. It looks like a wrapped up sandwich from Panera or something. I don't know what it was for. It was from. She said, "Are you hungry?" I don't know if she was actually going to give me a sandwich or not. I don't know whether this was some kind of a ruse. I don't know if the sandwich was poisoned, was laced with something. I have no idea. Or if she just had something and she knew it was going to go bad and she wanted to give it to somebody because she wasn't hungry anymore and she didn't want to hold on to it. Or if she thought maybe I was a homeless person and needed something. I don't know. I said, oh, no, thanks. I don't need anything. I was offered a sandwich by a homeless person. That started off my day. I get to Chick-fil-A and I say thank you, and they say you're welcome. Then I ask for a refill of sweet tea and I get ice. So I went to Dollar Tree thinking I could buy a tea. I thought maybe they had t-shirts in there. I'm running out of t-shirts in my bag here. I took my t-shirts out to that I usually wear just that when I'm out strolling around, because, you know, it's 99 degrees outside. And what I find out is I have one t-shirt left, and it's a heavy t-shirt. It's not a light, it's, in fact, it's a dark color and it's a very heavy material. So I'm going to be sweating later on when I walk down to Longhorn to get my supper tonight. It's about a mile and a half walk. Well, in the meantime, I thought, well, I'll go to Dollar Tree, it's right here by the hotel, just to see if they got t-shirts in there. They have everything but that. Everything but t-shirts. Of course, I walked away with a bag full of stuff just because, you know, it's only a dollar. You can't, I have a whole bag full of stuff and I spent $13. I can't remember the last time I did that. You buy however many items I got. I think I got a couple color-changing light bulbs and some pencils, some mechanical pencils. Got a little thing, a little binder thing to put some graph paper in it that I'm going to be doing some designs on some stuff. What else do I have? Got a little bag. I got some rulers, erasers. $13. Can't believe it. I lost more than that the day before. I bought some empanadas in Chicago. Left them on the airplane. Accidentally. They were not cheap. They were like $6 a piece. I ate one of them. So I had a $24 empanada. Because they were $6 a piece. And I had four of them. I ate one. I was going to eat the other one on the airplane. Then I ended up not eating it on the airplane. Then I ended up leaving them all on the airplane. Hopefully, I hope and pray someone who was hungry got those. That's all. If that happened, if they got thrown away, I will feel incredibly bad. But hopefully, and maybe that's what that lady was handing me. Wouldn't that be ironic? That would be a Seinfeld episode right there. Maybe that was an empanada she was trying to get me on the street. I don't know. They're everywhere. Anyway, lots of things happening in the news. I want to get into this really quickly because I don't have a lot more time. Apparently, Kamala has now determined that she is going to have a VP. So VP is an old white man, to balance out her racism. So she has Tim Walz, I guess, is his name. I don't know how if I'm pronouncing it right. I don't know if it's Walzy or if it's Walz or Walz. I don't know how he pronounces his name. I don't know. I don't know anything about his background. I know he was the governor of Minnesota. Now, this is the governor who allowed all the stuff that happened in Minnesota when all this, the George Floyd thing started there. That's where all that started. And he was all a part of that. And just the whole thing of, he's radically left. So she's only proving now that she really is in that tank. She's not looking for anything that's at all centrist at all. So I don't think they should focus on what her race is or what she says she is at all. I don't think they should even talk about that much. I think the main thing they need to talk about is her economics. They're trying to blame this whole recession and the stock market crash on Donald Trump. They're acting like they're running against the current. She says, we're going to take our country. They keep saying, we're going to take our country back. We're going to take our country back. Who has the country right now? What are you doing here? Who's in control? Who's been presiding over this? What administration has been the cause of this inflation that we've been experiencing? They want the inflation. They want the economy to be bad right now. They're looking for, it's kind of a twofold thing. It's kind of a double-edged sword for them. They want to be able to be reelected based on the idea that we have a strong economy. They know that would get them reelected, but that's not just yet. They want to crash the dollar. Their main goal here is to crash the dollar. The powers that be behind the scenes want to go to a one world currency. a cashless society. That's the digital currency would get us ushered into that, especially with, if the Federal Reserve has anything to say about it. We will end up there. BlackRock, all these big companies out there, the investment companies, they all want to see us go to a digital currency. It's going to make it a lot easier for everybody in the globalist side of things, not for the individuals out there. You will have no autonomy. You will have no ability to. Wealth will be defined very differently at that case. So, by the way, I have a backup cup. Not only do I have my sweet iced tea from Chick-fil-A, I also have a backup cup here of McDonald's sweet tea that I happened to pick up yesterday. Comparing the two side by side, it's amazing how much the McDonald's sweet tea tastes like cardboard. It tastes like the cup it's in, and it's the, of course, it's in a paper cup, but the, yeah, there's a definite difference there, boy. That's a huge difference. I may just have to throw the McDonald's tea out. I'll probably have to go over and get another sweet tea from Chick-fil-A later today. Maybe on my way back from Longhorn, where I will also have sweet tea. So we'll see how that goes. We have a lot of other things to talk about. So we'll have to see how this, we'll have to unwrap this Tim Walz guy. I had not expected that at all. I'd not even heard that he was on the list of anything going on with anything there. Now, there's a Trump case coming up, and Jamie Raskin had some interesting things to say. And there's a channel, YouTube channel called Jesse on Fire. This guy, he's kind of a ranting type guy, but he's kind of down my line. And he listens to Jimmy Dore, doesn't really, he understands, he recognizes Jimmy Dore as extreme progressive, but he's not a leftist. He's not a woke individual. He actually wants to see the truth. He wants to see the truth in politics. He wants to see. The problem with that is you're not going to get it. He wants to see that government controls things, government health care, all those things that we're going to take care of everybody. That's all well and good, but then when you want to put the same people that you're criticizing for being in government and all the deficiencies that they have, thinking that those people now are all of a sudden going to be the managers of the things you want to give them, the power, the kind of power you want to give them through, healthcare and everything else, all the social programs you want to have in your progressive movement there, that's not going to work because they're going to be the same people. And it's not, the only system that has ever worked, that will ever work properly, is the open market system where there's fair trade and you have the right to enjoy the fruits of your labor. In other words, you have the right to earn, trade your life for wealth. You can, I'm going to give you 8 hours of my life today. And you're going to, in exchange, you're going to give me wealth, whatever that might be, whether it's money, whatever it is, tokens, or whatever it is. Whatever it is you're going to give me in exchange that I agree to. Maybe it's 5 pigs. Maybe it's a bushel of corn. Whatever it is that we want to trade today. And the government has no business getting involved in that, because it's my life that I'm trading for that. They can't tax your life. But that's what they do. So, and that's where I fall with those kinds of things. I think it's maybe I'm idealistic in thinking those things are going to work, and I want to fight for them. Even though it's not, it's one of those things where I realize that there's probably society's going down a slope, and I'm just one little guy pushing against a huge machine here, and everybody wants to just kind of go about their life and not have anybody bug them. I get that. So, we will see how this goes. But Jamie Raskin was recently quoted, and he actually mentioned the word. And I'm going to try to get the video or the audio clip of this. I will try to have this on Thursday for you. Jamie Raskin has this little thing he goes on. He's talking about how the 14th Amendment, doesn't read the 14th Amendment. All he says very clearly that Donald Trump can't be the president, and because of the insurrection issue. He thinks it's coming back. He thinks this whole case is going to be, and they're I think it's September 18th, I believe, they're planning on sentencing Donald Trump And they want to put him in jail. That's what their goal is. And he makes no bones about that. And he also pulls off this thing where he says something about a civil war. Now, the left and the deep state would want nothing more than to see a civil war break out. I believe whether Donald Trump would have gotten killed or seriously injured to the point where he could not hold office, if he'd been shot and turned into a vegetable, or wounded in such a bad way that his health was, you know, was critically, you know, couldn't even maybe not even survive, or been injured, you know, mortally, not, you know, or maybe diagnostically for maybe he had 12 months to live, whatever was going to happen to him there. Eliminated from the race, one way or another. They know, I think that they were hoping this would cause a civil war, an uprising. So what they're looking for. They've been telling us for years now that under this DOJ that the greatest threat to America is the homegrown white supremacist terrorist in this country. Yeah, we're letting all kinds of people pour, must be letting a lot of them pour across our border down there. Well, those people aren't a problem. No, those people aren't a problem at all. I don't care if the majority of them are nice people that are looking for a better life and just trying to get here and trying to survive. That's fine. But it only takes, 10% of 10 million to be a major army in this country, to be a military force. We don't even know who they are or where they are. It's ridiculous. In the meantime, these people will stop at nothing to keep Trump out of office because he is a threat to their power. They're not afraid of what he's going to do to the economy. They're not afraid of he's going to crash the stock market. They're not afraid of him getting us into a war. They will get us into a war, whether it's world war or they know that if a civil war broke out, they could implement martial law. They could stop the elections. We wouldn't have the elections. And they will do this. I think they think if they put Trump in prison in September, of course, then there's always this possibility that they put him in prison. Well, he might Epstein himself. Because, you know, he's so depressed. Now he's in prison. Now he's so depressed. They're gonna gaslight us. They've been gaslighting us about, first of all, they were gaslighting us about Joe Biden for how long until the charade, the game was up. We all saw it with our very own eyes at the debate. I couldn't hide it anymore. And all of a sudden, this is the best version of Joe Biden, and the best version of Joe Biden wasn't so great. And they all started clamoring for, we better get somebody else in there. And of course, money played a big part in that because there were hundreds of millions of dollars in his campaign fund, and the only way they could get that transferred over, and not even, this isn't even legally, they didn't do it legally, but they gave the perception of being legal, was because Harris was on the ticket that she would be able to continue the campaign. Well, she's continuing Joe Biden's campaign. She can't step in as the nominee. But that's what they've convinced everyone that they're doing. If you look at this thing legally within the bounds of the Democrat Party, in my opinion, this is my opinion on this, they are breaking the law doing what they're doing. I think that they're going to try to, behind the scenes, pull something off at the convention to open. I think they're going to tell. Here's how I think it's going to go down. The powers that be are going to say, well, I know you don't want to have an open convention, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the convention just to make all this legitimate. We're going to open the convention, and then all the delegates will go to Kamala. And we won't have any problem. She'll have the nominee. We just need to make it official. We need to make this, you know, legitimate. So let's open the convention, and then we're going to show that everybody wants Kamala. Now, what's going to happen is the superdelegates are going to step in, along with some other delegates that will probably be bought off. And all of a sudden, we will have a different nominee. Something else is going to happen. I am about 50-50 right now in thinking that Kamala is going to survive through the convention, the DNC convention. I really I'm really torn about what they're going to do. I think they're going to try to put on a good front. It's only been a couple weeks since Joe Biden stepped down. I don't think it's going to be, how you say, very pretty here. Now, they have to look at the optics of what this means, because I don't think it's going to look good for the Democrat Party. And they know that. It's going to look like they're in disarray, and they are in disarray. I'm amazed that they've been able to, well, with the news media that they have, they own the media, they just do, they do what they do with the media. So that's always something that they're able to do. But let's just say, I think that they are confused and dismayed right now, and there's still a civil war going on behind the scenes with all this stuff. The Clintons are involved. Hillary Clinton is involved. The Obamas are involved heavily in what's going on. And of course, then you have moguls in the media behind the scenes, the big money folks, and there are some there are still some high-tech individuals who are behind this stuff. Surprisingly enough, there are some high-tech people who have actually kind of stepped aside. They're not going to, supposedly not going to get involved this time in the political world, supposedly. Now, along with that, folks, we need to pray, because with everything else that's going on, we've got Israel happening. We've got the thing with Iran and Israel. There's a lot of tensions there, heavy tensions there. We have stock market, which supposedly is crashing. There's all this kind of stuff that's happening. There's always corrections throughout the year. They're making a big deal out of this one. And then, just more things coming out about the assassination of Trump. So, folks, just continue to pray. We'll have a show tomorrow, maybe tomorrow evening, but for sure Thursday morning there'll be a show, and I'll try to have more audio stuff going on. Folks, God bless. Take care. Have a great day.